line drive off the goalpost, and a centering pass, another shot, and they score! Ilya Mikheyev! The Soup Man has a pair!
I mean, we miss the fans out here. They bring a lot to the game. I didn't think the game, as much as I was happy with our players' engagement in the game, I don't think the game itself had a whole lot of emotion or energy or competitiveness, physicality, all those kind of things, and that tends to ramp up, you know, when the fans are in the building, and but the game was void of that tonight.
You said it, Sheldon Keefe. Good morning, Happy New Year. Happy 2022.
Woo!
Whew. It's the Fan Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Ailer's 4-4, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan. Yeah, 2022. How long does it take you guys to remember the year, usually?
I haven't had to yet, but yeah. It'll take a while.
Yeah, it'll take a while. Yeah, whenever you'd have to like sign a document or sign something off or fill in the actual proper date, usually I start to get that down March-ish, March-April range kind of deal. That's usually when it sinks in for me. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to accept that it's the new year. I like saying Happy New Year, but not actually accepting that it is the new year.
Yeah, we got to operate on sports seasons. Like in my head, this like from October to April is 21-22. There's no I operate on a sports calendar, not a real calendar. So I can't sign a document, obviously. Like, oh, today's date is the 34th game of the Raptors season, but that is how my brain works.
My brain also works like this. I won't say the Raptors as much because they didn't have quite the same break, although it did feel that way at times when you were watching the G League. Like there was an intermission. They said, oh, yeah, these are some exhibition games. We're playing another preseason here. But the Leafs season, if this is sort of the way that we're going to jump off to this thing, it feels like the second half now, right? It just feels like this unofficial second half, despite it not being 41 games into the season. Like, we have to almost do this show as, now, the Leafs' second half of the season has kicked off. We're here. The second half of the season has officially begun because they played in an empty arena that Sheldon Keefe called emotionless on a Saturday night against the Ottawa Senators, full of guys you and I and Ailish have never heard of.
So this is where I take issue with you being like, well, the Raptors played a couple G League games, but the Leafs are back, and it's the start of the second half. It's like, that was, you heard it in Sheldon Keefe's comments on the way in. Not only was that game emotionless, it was not particularly competitive. By a lot of metrics, it was one of the least competitive games the Leafs have played all season. That is a bad team that they were playing against. And I mean, maybe I'm just like a little more used to it with basketball, having gone through the bubble and stuff. But man, that felt weird and dead with no crowd.
But it did feel nice to have an intro to the show of a voice calling the Toronto Maple Leafs scoring a goal. Like, didn't that feel like things are going better in 2022?
No.
We heard, it just felt like a nice change. And not just us being like, we're back, no sports. I'll take it.
Okay. We went through this after the first wave of the pandemic when we first got sports back, not even when we had sports back, before then, when we were all watching marble racing and trying to get down with the Bundesliga because it was the first sports that was at, like the first team sports that were actually back, of, oh, you know what? I'm never going to complain about sports again. We all did that, right? It's just like me when I was taking exams that I didn't properly prepare for. Lord, if you would just give me this one exam where you fluke
me
through.
Give me a B.
Yeah, just fluke me through this and how I'll go to church. I'll do the things that I haven't been doing. And then as soon as it's over, never mind. I reneg
Psych.
On this. I reneg. But this is how I feel about sports right now. I'm not supposed to complain. I feel like I made this deal with somebody, with some deity, about not having to complain about sports. And now here I am watching the Leafs play, yes, a horrific Ottawa Senators team on a Saturday night where there's no fans. And meanwhile, that game, this is the dirty little secret, the Rose Bowl was happening right across in the Leafs game. And the Rose Bowl was amazing. It was so good. Huge comeback, packed crowd, this aesthetically pleasing. There's what's more beautiful than the Rose Bowl logo on a football field? Is there anything, honestly, in sports? How many things are more beautiful than that? None. It's just not a thing that you can really beat. And it's a high-scoring affair, tons of electric touchdowns. And then the Leafs game I had on my other TV with no crowd, Leafs just hammering some preseason
game. You weren't pumped
game.
To see Justin Hall score and Ilya Mikheyev? Like, what a start to 2022. Exactly who I thought. TJ Brody leading us into the future. Maybe there's, like, some sort of weird juju for 2022 if those are your top scorers.
It's hard to go backwards here. And we didn't really talk about this a lot on our New Year's show about, you know, everybody did things you want to leave in 2021, right? Things you don't want to have, things we want in 2022, New Year's resolutions, things that we're looking back on. Sports and COVID have had this incredible intersection, right? We often like to separate these things, real world sports, whatever. One is fantasy fun and games. The other one is this reality where, okay, you're supposed to be escaping from it. Sports has just been right there. And I really do think that there was something anyways for me personally, and I think probably for a lot of other people as well, where you're watching these games that are supposed to be an escape, that are supposed to be entertainment, that are supposed to be the things that at least at one point we sold ourselves on encouraging, hey, a good reason to stay inside was that you had sports. And now when I watch these games without any fans in the arenas, without any energy in the building, without the same competitive feel, it really does... It brings you into reality in a way that sports are not supposed to right now. That even when we have these intersections, I find it especially difficult to watch. I'm not enjoying this. I need the fans in the building for me to properly appreciate the sport. And until that happens, I'm not going to like hockey probably the most out of all of these games. I think it's affected by far greater than it does the NBA, especially regular season. It's just bad. It's just really, really bad. And I don't mean to be a complainer, but it was awful.
I think the worst part of it is that you flip on the Winter Classic, which was great on Saturday. Who knows which day it was. Saturday. I don't even know what day it is anymore. Yeah. And you watch that and it's packed. It's electric. All of these American games are getting... full houses, and I know we don't want to venture into the different politics between Canada and the United States, but I think that hits even harder as a fan, as somebody covering Canadian sports and Toronto sports, to see just the vast difference between what's going on here at home and to what's going on in the States. And you see screen grabs of poor Carlton the Bear alone at the glass with the sign. Like, that was
he
sad.
Got to go.
Yeah, he's the poor guy, the bear down at the glass, like with the sign, like, go get him, boys. And then you see, a stadium full of thousands and thousands of people. It's just kind of rubs salt in the wound.
Yeah, 39,000 at the Winter Classic, 88,000 at the Rose Bowl. But yeah, Carlton, I mean, it happened at the Raptors game too, where it's just like so awkward to have a mascot in game ops. And like the Raptors played the 60 seconds of madness on the Jumbotron, and like the only person there for the madness is like Eric Kreen and Doug Smith.
Oh, God.
And I don't think you're gonna get 60 seconds of madness out of those guys. So but at least the mascots are still employed, because there's not really a reason for them to be there, so at least they have that.
Yeah,
but I think yeah, the contrast is the big thing right now, right? Like, we all got a little used to empty stadiums as a hey, this is just kind of what we got to deal with right now. But we had it back, and that's kind of the tease, is 90% of us did what we were asked to do and what we were supposed to do, and we got it back, and then it went away, and then you contrast it to what you're seeing on the other side. It's a little tough.
I think that's part of the biggest frustration for me, is what you just said there, that people have done so much. People have gone through so many things. And yeah, I'm sorry, but my mind is with business owners who have grinded their asses off to get to places like we thought we were at, who have done everything right, who have gone by vaccine passports and changing regulations and adding added things to make sure people can come inside just to have a bite of food, who have had to endure this in a way that a lot of us haven't, right? Like, for me and for us, this is, in terms of at least work, this is cushy. This is, oh, okay, well, you're still employed, you're still working. Okay, maybe there's not as many games some nights or as many storylines as you can have it, but ultimately you're just moved inside and you're still doing your job. There are just so many people out there that I can't help but think about right now when I'm watching these games. And that includes employees that work at the stadiums, right? That's people who work at these restaurants. That's people who rely on tips, that work at the bar at Scotiabank Arena, at these arenas. That's people whose livelihoods are largely dependent on the holiday season having a bit of an influx, whether it's the bar that you love down the street or whatever. And everyone has done so great. And I do mean everyone, because it's a very, very high number of people. And now to have this, it's just it adds to watching the sports. It's just there. It's, you're sitting with it the entire time. There's no escape. It's not enjoyable. So there's no energy in the arena. You're thinking about players now who are all mostly coming back from COVID on the Leafs. Like, how many Maple Leafs had COVID, right? So many in a controlled environment. So it's basically, there's no better test case for all this, right? Which is, you've got the youngest, healthiest people on the planet who are all vaccinated in order to play here, who have all been following pretty strict protocols, and bang, most of them end up getting wiped out, and you're missing players still going, okay, well, why is this person out? Okay, right, because of COVID. And then you're watching empty stadiums. I really don't mean to be a downer here off the first show, but I just don't know how you're supposed to watch this stuff right now and go, oh, yeah, nobody notice. Just focus on the Mikheyev goal. Just focus on the two shorthanded goals that the Maple Leafs got. This sucks. This is extreme suckitude. And we got to figure something out here. We got to have a better plan than just simply shutting down the arenas and deciding that we're going to hammer small businesses and just say, oh, okay, well, like, this is our plan, is nobody go anywhere again. Everybody shut inside again and watch your sports and watch your Netflix accounts and just hope and pray this thing away and wait for your booster shot number 82. Like, I just don't know what we're doing here.
I think it was interesting what the Canadians did the other day. So they showed up to the arena and they have an active outbreak in their locker room, and they were told, just play through it, and then afterwards you guys can take a longer extended break. So the league knew that they had a full outbreak in their locker room. They didn't even have barely enough players to play the game. However, they were told, you're going to play the game anyway. Both teams know the risks, and then afterwards you get a nice long rest. So, like, even that, which is like, okay, we're gonna fight through it for one game, but then you guys get 12 days off. It's still like, I don't know the solution. Is that the solution? Everyone takes these long breaks to get things back to how they were. I'm glad I don't have to make these decisions, but that's just a contrast of another thing happening in Canada that, like, they're just like, play through it and then get over it.
Yeah, so this is one thing, and I don't know how the Canadian side is going to handle this, but we talked about this when the NFL was kind of providing the first blueprint of powering through games, and we talked about, hey, are the NBA and NHL going to adopt this cycle threshold testing, which is basically, hey, instead of a binary yes-no, we're going to measure the size of the viral load and how transmittable you might be, and if you're below that certain point of transmission and you're asymptomatic, then maybe you can play. And the NBA is moving to that. They have the cycle threshold is not quite as loose as the NFL, but they're moving toward that anyway. And I wonder if the NHL, you know, that's their version of that. It's like, hey, if you're asymptomatic and you test below this certain point, maybe you can get back on the ice quicker. But I also don't know where, you know, like, I don't, that might not help the Canadian teams at all. That might be strictly a helps the U.S. teams get guys back on, because then it's a government decision versus an NHL decision.
Yeah, again, this is just, there's so many things moving in stupid directions. And yeah, all of a sudden it's, okay, well, in Canada you don't have to wait 10 days anymore. You can go 5. Okay, well, if you don't need to be testing the same way, but I'm guessing that they're going to test a lot of the NHL players or continue to test them on a daily or whatever the hell the testing basis is. All I know is that when I'm watching the NFL, now even a guy who's unvaccinated like Carson Wentz was can still figure out a positive COVID test and still get back into the NFL a week later. I'm looking at the NHL right now and they're the league that's going to suffer the most from this. They're just going to continue to hemorrhage from this. And you can say, oh yeah, we tend to do this with sports leagues, right? Or with anybody that actually has money. You tend to go, oh well, the NHL, those are rich athletes. Who cares how this is impacted with them? Who cares how this is, oh, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine. They're going to be rich. Yeah, I just don't see it that way anymore. I just don't like the way that this is being handled. I don't like seeing these empty arenas. I don't think that it's a good thing for that league that I care about anyways, that the Leafs are losing what did Elliot say, almost $4 million a game that they have to play without fans
per,
it's brutal watching this stuff. So yeah, we'll pivot in and we'll start talking about some of our Leafs storylines here for the quote-unquote second half. But yeah, I don't feel the same escape. I don't feel the same enjoyment. I don't see the same product. I don't see any of it. I don't see any of it. And I don't see the reasons for some of this either. And so, yeah, I'm incredibly frustrated. I think a lot of people are. And I just don't see that changing. I think it's just really, really tough to continue to do this when there's empty arenas, when your escape is basically your biggest reminder of the state of things in the province right now.
Yeah, it's tough. And again, none of us are epidemiologists, but the optics of it and the way it feels, you don't need a degree to feel how an empty arena feels coming through on TV. And again, I think it's the contrast to having it back and the contrast to it being different in other places. So we understand the frustration.
So with the actual hockey itself, welcome back. Welcome back, hockey. It was surreal watching no fans, but it was even weird feeling like, okay, when Ailish went, you had mentioned the last time the Leafs had played.
December 14th.
December 14th, right?
Hey, you want to rewind here for a second and go with another segue? I've got one here. So we're talking about, obviously, the COVID handling of the Canadian teams. You want to talk about another embarrassment from the city of Ottawa? There you go.
Oh.
Ottawa Senators. That was just not a good game.
Yeah.
For if we take out all the other stuff and we go just the hockey side, that was not a good game.
It was good for myself. Once again, from a financial standpoint, because this is the only way that I can positively spin anything with these COVID games, is just like last night with the Packers, where you watch these live lines, these live betting lines, and go, why are the Packers, 17.5-point favorites during the game, you realize, is a must-bet-on situation. Even the second half last night of the Packers, it was Packers minus 19.5 heading into the second half, like, this isn't the same stuff. And it was similar with watching that Leafs game where the live line moved and I kept going, oh, I'm just going to keep betting this live line and keep betting the Leafs at -4.5 at this massive plus money and going, yeah, no, this makes sense. And it ends up hitting. That game was a bit of a joke. I took two things from it. Two things that I thought about during that game that were actually hockey related. I'll start with this. Number one is, Ailish, you mentioned those players that carried the Leafs to goals. I don't think that TJ Brody is all of a sudden going to start popping them. I don't think Justin Hall is going to start scoring goals. Although it was amazing that just like, remember when it was Chip Marner, when he chipped his tooth?
Yep.
And we said he's got to keep the chip, that Justin Hall ends up scoring a goal shortly after taking what was a skate blade to the face and
scary.
Busting up his nose. It was just weird too because I didn't see that happen live.
All of a sudden he had two nostrils full of cotton and you're like, what just happened?
He looked like Ailish when she gets her nosebleeds in the studio, stuffing tissues into her face.
Good
and
memory.
Then continuing on with the show. So he scores. And then there's Mikheyev, who pots the two.
Finally.
And Nylander doesn't really fit into this narrative here for me. But I thought about how if you really look at the Toronto Maple Leafs roster, this the oddity of where they stand right now with so much optimism around the club from a play standpoint is that I feel as though if we're talking about regression to the mean, that there's more regression coming to the positive side of this hockey team than there is negative. You could make the case that Jack Campbell, who ends up getting another shutout, would be probably the guy that maybe you say that doesn't work out for. But who are the players in the first half that you felt like they drastically overplayed to what their actual abilities are? What Wayne Simmons? You think
Spezza?
That's what I'm saying. Spezza, it, the really, older yeah. players that you think aren't going to hold
Bunting,
up the same
maybe.
Way?
He had a hot start, and since then he's on a 4-game 0-point streak. He kind of just snoozed off.
Maybe not as many points for Bunting, but it's hard to see his game not translating into being successful, and also somebody that doesn't necessarily need to be scoring. Also really should have been on the score sheet. The best save Matt Murray made that night was on Bunting. He absolutely should have had a goal in that game. I just thought about Justin Hall. I thought about Ilya Mikheyev coming back. I thought about how when Nick Ritchie returns, it's hard to envision him having a worse quote-unquote second half than a first half. And here come the Leafs getting to rest out the Mitch Marner injury, where they did look lost. Not lost at times, but they didn't look as complete. They didn't look as quality without Marner. The power play did, but the rest of the team was clearly missing him. This is a team that I really do look at and say, it's only going to get better here, barring injuries. It's only going to be regression towards the positive for most players. It's not going to be the other way around. It wasn't a fluky way, or there was nothing fluky or that felt as though it was a big aberration heading into that break.
And I think there's something to be said about having a long break. I know it wasn't under good circumstances, but think about just the travel that you endure as an athlete in the NHL, and just like some time to recover injuries. Like, as you said, with the Marner thing, like he didn't have to miss too many games and he probably had a little bit of extra time to rehab. Same with Mikheyev, who quickly came back from injury and then had that another extended time to like really reevaluate that injury and come back. I think it's almost like you get a fresh start. And we talked about this, like this seems like the second half of the season now, but the Leafs might be able to have a little bit extra juice because they had a longer break. And some of these Canadian teams are feeling the same way, where that might be something down the line where we get to the playoffs and we look at, wow, December, they went over 2 weeks without playing a game. Was that the turning point? Was that, I know some of them got COVID, and I know that people are going to think that this is the opposite fact, but they got some time to rest, even mentally. Like, just think of the extent of coming into the arena, practicing, being dialed in. Sometimes it's good to have like a little bit of a step back. And even Nylander was like, I just played Call of Duty for like 10 days and I just like had some time to refresh in a sense. And I mean, I'm trying to find a positive out of a negative situation. And that might be the thing that we look back on as something that was positive for the Maple Leafs, if we're looking.
Well, yeah, maybe so this sets us up for the one big number.
Yeah, so I was going to say, the one thing you mentioned, JD, is, hey, maybe there's some Jack Campbell regression due. So today's one big number is 20.8. And that is the number of goals saved above expected that Jack Campbell has tallied so far this year. That is 14% higher than the number two goalie in the league.
Boy.
So he has outperformed number two by 14% in terms of goals saved above expected. That's via top-down hockey. Even if you control for minutes, he's second to Shesterkin in per 60. The Leafs are third as a team. So even when you factor in, you know, the Hutch and Wall games and stuff, Campbell has the Leafs right where you want them. So Jack Campbell has been, you know, by that metric, which includes volume, the best goalie in hockey or the most valuable goalie in hockey. The question is, does he, you know, this is something he's been doing now since kind of the start of last season, where he has the best save percentage in hockey through the entire 2021 calendar year and over the last two seasons. So your question is, does that regress a little bit? The counter to that, and when we're talking about ways that maybe things regress positively too, is Mrazek still only played three games. And if you're looking at, hey, the schedule is going to be a little more condensed than we expected from here because all these games have been pushed back. If Mrazek is even a reasonably solid number two, I think that that lets you insulate some of the Campbell concern.
I think also when you look at the Olympic break, I know that we were excited for him to maybe go to the Olympics. If they're not going to the Olympics, that's even more time like for him to be here, to, as we talked about, like not pushing himself as much. Like they might have to play some makeup games, but going to Beijing, going to be playing on that stage, coming back, like I know I'm pulling at little net positives here, but like I wanted to see him represent USA at the Olympics. Does that bode better for the Leafs that he doesn't? Possibly, but you know, we're not going to know. But I think that, as I said, looking for positives, maybe the fact that he's going to be here, going to be able to reset a bit, could be something that we look back on.
I appreciate you trying to do these things, to spin it to me as, you're not getting the Olympics and we're back in a complete hellscape, but maybe Jack Campbell being the third string goaltender of Team USA is going to in some way manifest as 0% am I buying that. I hate it. All you did was just remind me that there's no NHL players at the Olympics, Ailish. Really?
And sorry, Ailish, but they have 8 games to make up right now. The way things
maybe
look.
There's more morassic time.
There's that 22-day gap or whatever, but so it's not the most intense schedule, but you got to fit these 8 games somewhere.
Well, I would say this. I'm glad you brought up the morassic point, Blake, because that would be one of the counters. Is how much better is morassic going to be than Michael Hutchinson,
Joe Wall?
Yeah, not quite. Or wait, it was Joseph Wall, and we're not calling him Joe Wall yet. I can't remember what the bit was.
No, I think we got him into Joe.
We got him into Joe?
Yeah, the broadcast declared him Joe Wall. We said that Joey Wall was the prospect, Joseph Wall was the unknown, then bring in the hard hat and the lunch pail is Joe Wall.
You get your first shutout in your debut NHL game. I think you own Joe now.
I thought that when we last saw Campbell, he was wearing down. And if we want to do the second number to the big number, I would say 22, which is his most career game started with the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Mm-hmm. He said 25 was his highest in his career. 31 is his most game played. 2 more starts and he's hit his career high in starts.
I think he's going to get that.
Right? I hope so. Please let that be the case. He looked a little worn down. He didn't look terrible, but there was a little bit of lack of athleticism maybe to his game. The same sort of pop and flair that Jack Campbell normally plays with, he seemed to be missing down the stretch before they ended up having this COVID break. It's hard to tell in a game like that against the Ottawa Senators, but he gets that shutout, and he was very much more reminiscent of past Jack Campbell. So either way, with that added schedule, if you do have Peter Mrazek, to me, on a whole, if I'm trying to look at this, I go, yeah, Blake, is that number 14% higher in goals saved above average likely to maintain itself? No, it's probably going to regress closer to the rest of the league. I wouldn't anticipate he has a gap of him to the next guy, or even that he ends up finishing the season number one. But this is now more about making sure Jack Campbell can be somewhere closer to the level. And so far as the Toronto Maple Leafs goalie, he's been pretty damn phenomenal. And so I believe he is that guy. I don't know if he's the best goalie in the NHL, but I believe right now he is one of the 10 best goalies in the NHL. Keeping him healthy, keeping him fresh down this run, having Mrazek back and knowing that you have that option, that you could give even Mrazek 2 games in a row and not be worried about having something lost with Jack Campbell, a guy who's been a career backup and who could probably find his groove pretty easily, who was brought here in the first place to be in a timeshare, who thought he was going to be in a timeshare with Freddie Anderson before Anderson's injury happened. I'm good with this. Even when we're looking at the regression, I still view the second quote-unquote half as a positive for Jack Campbell.
Yeah, and that's the thing about regression, right? We're not saying Campbell's going to regress to being a bad goalie or even who he was in L.A. And the data that we have from 2021 and from this season is a part of Jack Campbell now and a part of what you incorporate when you're talking about regression. So I think the big thing is when he regresses, you're no longer regressing him to a big question mark that maybe you entered the season with or entered last year's playoff with or whatever. And the other thing is, can you, you know, say, okay, he's not the number one goalie, but you need him to be a top five goalie in the playoffs. It's not only about does he regress to that point, but it's to your point and what we said earlier about Mrazek, can you keep him healthy enough and in a groove enough that he's still that top five goalie heading into the playoffs? And you mentioned that little stretch before the break. He's allowed three goals or more seven times this season. Four of them came in a row at the start of December. So I do think, you know, there were some high shots against totals in there too, but it's also the only instance he's had back-to-back sub 90 save percentage nights. So there was something there, I think, to the fatigue element. And the Mrazek thing is, you know, hopefully something we're going to see a little bit more of moving forward.
So before we go, before we take this break and do the A-list, cheer everybody up a little bit more with the A-list.
I've been trying.
Yeah. A-list, I swear, if this is one of your depressing A-lists, I might
have to... It's not depressing.
I'm just saying, it better not be, because today is not the day to have a depressing A-list. Today, we need some boosting, okay? Vibes coordinator, you got to be on top of this. Can I quickly ask you guys this question? They mentioned during the broadcast, and by they, I mean the panel, Elliot Friedman, talking about the hunger for international hockey. And just after you said that about Jack Campbell, I was thinking, you know, I was never a believer that the World Cup of Hockey could ever work. But if I'm the NHL, this eliminating players from the Olympics thing has potentially worked out for me in such a good way. We never... this. I'm just playing the NHL here, okay? So this is me putting on... I am now the NHL. I'm just the NHL. I'm no longer JD Bunkers. I am the NHL. Okay, so none of my players are going to this tournament that I didn't want them to go to. We don't have to have this pause in the season. Don't have to put in replacement-level players in order to get some of these games done. I don't have to worry about Connor McDavid being trapped in a hotel room overseas because he contracted COVID. I don't have to worry about any of my stars.
Beijing hotel. Nope. Apparently 3 to 4 stars was the recommend was what they were going to stay in hotel.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. They're not going to this tournament. I found a way out of this thing that they negotiated for, but I wanted all along to not happen. And now I can have some say and control in a World Cup that might have a much larger audience or might have a larger actual impact. They play the World Cup of Hockey this fall. Or, sorry, this summer. I don't know when the next fall, whenever they
sometime.
Try to squeeze. But before the next NHL season, if they play some form of an international tournament, if they can pull that together and the NHL is involved, I do feel as though there is going to be a legitimacy to that that wouldn't have been there had the players gone to the Olympics. Had they gone to the Olympics, when are we getting another international tournament that isn't the Olympics? 2 years later? And does it feel very good? No, because we've just had Olympic hockey and we know what that is. Those players all geared up and prepared for a tournament this year. My guess is that they would treat this World Cup as though it was an Olympics, that the NHL or the governing body of this thing would say, we are no longer going to incorporate stupid things like North America and Team Europe. I'm sorry for those of you that thought it was cool. It was fine, but it just made it feel like an exhibition tournament, a lame one. That overall, this is a huge win, and guys like me anyway are going to look at it now with far greater interest than we ever would have had the Olympics happened.
Honestly, I could not have cared less about those other international tournaments.
Exactly.
I was just so not interested. Even when it was in Toronto, I was like, I could go. I mean, what's this Team Europe? I couldn't have cared less. This, you're right, is the prime opportunity to reinvigorate that tournament. Unfortunately, it seems like it's going to be like a win for the NHL after they kind of like did this thing that is giving them a tainted image. The players are trying to find loopholes to go to the Olympics. So if they can kind of capitalize on that, I think the attention will be at an all-time high. It's like your one chance to bring that type of tournament back. We'll see. It's definitely been floating around. Like that conversation has been happening online. It sucks, but I think I'd buy in obviously 20 times more than the last attempt.
Okay, can I ask you guys a second question of this?
Mm-hmm.
Would you resent a Maple Leafs player if they found a loophole and they went to the Olympics, even if it wasn't for Canada.
Okay, I was thinking about this as well, because I think we'll talk about it later, but Elliot was on Hockey Night in Canada or whatever, which one he was on, and he was saying that they are looking for loopholes such as retiring, going to the Olympics and then coming back, or like voiding their contract, being able to play the Olympics and then re-signing. And honestly, I thought, that's kind of sad, like that they have to go to this extent. And I don't blame them. And I honestly would not resent a player for doing that, depending on who it is.
So Austin Matthews does it tomorrow. He holds a media conference. Hmm. He says, I'm retiring. Everyone knows he's going to come back to the Toronto Maple Leafs eventually, but they're going to play a bunch of games without him. Or Jack Campbell ends up leaving. It costs the Leafs, obviously, having one of their better players. I wouldn't resent them. Honest to God, yeah. I really wouldn't.
That's a tough one.
You know who else wouldn't resent them? Kyle Dubas, because that might be the backdoor
answer.
The cap crunch they're in. It's like, oh no, the $10 million is off the books for 8 games. Oh no, darn.
Honestly, that's a good text line thing. Guys, if you're listening, fans, women, men, anyone, let me know on the text line 590-590 if you would resent, let's use Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner to go early retirement, go to Beijing, play for their country, and then come back and miss a couple games, but ultimately get their chance to play in the Olympics. What do you think?
Yeah, one last thing before we break is if the NHL wants to sell the players on this and there's resentment from, hey, you didn't let us go to the Olympics and now you want us to play in a more NHL-oriented one, the word the NHL is going to dangle is escrow, right? The players still have that kind of escrow debt to make up from the revenue decrease. Something like the World Cup is something that the NHL is going to pull more revenue from versus the Olympics. So I think that's the sales job you do to the players in the union.
Blake, you know what that feels like? That feels like in the movies when the mafia is holding something over someone, and then they finish their part of the deal, and they go, all right, and now we're square? And then the mafia boss goes, we're square when I say we're square. That's how that feels. That does not feel good. Yep. That doesn't feel like a partnership. That feels like
Are you new to the NHL labor situation?
I'm just telling you, that's not... the NHL trying to frame it that way to the players. Good luck.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that's what's going to happen.
How embarrassing would it be for the NHL though if this started happening? And you know, once I think one player commits, I think there's no conversation. Everyone's going to do it.
Ovechkin's
it would just
the
be
guy,
a
right?
slap in the face.
Hope they do
to
it.
Gary Bettman.
Whatever the loopholes are, I'm fully in support of it. I hope that those NHL players do it. God knows,
I mean,
I'll sacrifice.
Elliot said basically there are no loopholes. Like Elliot said, the league's aware of it, and like they're not going to let that happen.
What do you mean? You can't let me not retire. Like, what if I want to retire?
Then they might say you're retired for the season. They might tell you, like, your year is done. Your contract is void for the year. And
there's
got to
be a lawyer out there. Allison, the lawyer from Toronto who listens, she probably knows there's a loophole. Allison, get in there. Let us know how they can do it.
Yeah. I hope so. I wouldn't resent them, but you're right. It is a good text line question, so fire away. You can also follow us on our socials, and you can reach us there at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, and Blake, just say your two.
Blake Murphy, ODC, E. Blake Murphy.
That's correct. Those are the ones. Let's take a break. By the way, that's the way we're doing it from now on. I'm just going to say the two, and then, Blake, it's just on you to jump in and do the double dip. It's the Fan Morning Show. J.D. Bunkus, A-List Forfar, Blake Murphy, the A-List next.
Hot new single from...
I can't believe you did this.
Antonio Brown.
This Can
is
I say
his
something
hot
here?
New
it's fire.
Single. It's called Pit Not the Palace, released during the game yesterday, since he was not participating in some of the game. You can listen to this song called Pit Not the Palace anywhere you get your music. And we'll probably touch on Antonio Brown a little later, but that is a fresh single to lead us into the A-List.
I love Antonio Brown.
Hey, yo.
The A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Up, baby.
What were you saying there, JD? You love Antonio Brown.
Well, okay. obviously he's actually kind of the worst. Last week at the podium where he goes, I'm not talking about any of this. The media creates all this stuff. And I go, ah.
Really, yeah, you guys are about the drama. I'm about the football.
And I,
6 days ago.
Well, I started to think about how he got into it with the Steelers, Mike Tomlin. He leaves the Steelers. He goes to the Raiders. Some people don't even remember that he was there because he didn't play a game. He has that stupid thing with his helmet where he goes, I'm only wearing this helmet, and yeah. I'll quit if I don't get my own helmet. He, I believe, called Mike Mayock a cracker, which people were saying that was racist. I thought it was hilarious. I think that cracker is above the board. You can call me a cracker anytime you want. I'm good with it. I think it was funny. Either way, he gets boosted off the Raiders. He gets kicked off that team. He has the New England situation. Then he has a bunch of actual criminal things that go. He has, I believe, I don't want to say these things and have them get wrong, but there was definitely a domestic situation. There was something involving the police. Just a horrible run of Antonio Brown news that was beyond the pale. Then Tom Brady, who just won't stop stumping for this guy. Tom Brady, who's the worst guy Tom Brady backed? Donald Trump or Antonio Brown in terms of the Tom Brady's legacy of backing guys that seem to be a little unhinged here. Either way, Antonio Brown comes to Tampa Bay, actually looks good, looks like a old AB, and starts to rehabilitate the legacy of, oh man, this guy really was the best receiver in football for a very, very long time. And now maybe he can get back to that a bit. And then this, the vaccination card, and this, and now the rap single. But why I loved this from Antonio Brown is we all dream of quitting our jobs that way. Everybody wants to quit their job that way. Take your shirt off and give the peace sign to everybody and be like, I'm out of here. I don't need this. That's the who doesn't want to at least have that be a possibility? Isn't that the dream? To just say peace out?
My shirt on, but
sure.
Yours, that's
mine would be off. Obviously, mine's coming off immediately. Like if you follow my Instagram account, then you know that summertime there's no tarp. But yeah, that's it. I respected the quit. I really did. People will hate on that guy. I go, that's the Antonio Brown experience. Okay, that I'd be hating on him if he was any other guy. That's what you get when you sign Antonio Brown. He might give you the peace out sign in the middle of a football game. Sorry, I don't feel bad for the Bucks.
Well, he's not in my A-list, but he is definitely a story we'll touch on. He just got his single as a intro to that conversation. But what is on my A-list is a story that has been definitely going viral. If you haven't seen it yet, then I don't know, maybe you're taking a social media hiatus, but it's a great, great story. I know, bring the positivity today, JD, so tune in here. So the Canucks and the Kraken are going to probably be a rivalry since of their close borders. But a really good story came out of that. On Sunday or Saturday or one of these games, Nadia Popovich, a young fan, was sitting behind the Vancouver Canucks bench at the Seattle Kraken game. And she was watching the game and saw on the back of the equipment manager, whose name is Brian Hamilton, she saw this mole on the back of his neck that... She's training to be a doctor. She's going to med school. And she noticed this mole on the back of his neck that looked potentially cancerous. It had like a different ring around it. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but she noticed. So she, on her cell phone, she wrote a note in bold letters that said, the mole on the back of your neck is cancerous. And she tried to get his attention throughout the game to show him the note, which, you know, obviously there's like a lot of noise and pounding on the glass. But eventually he turned around and saw it. Read the note and obviously just kind of like continued his job. But after the game, he talked to the doctor, the team doctor, and showed him the mole, and they removed it and got it tested, and it actually was cancerous. And the doctor that took the mole off his neck said if he didn't act on it within the next 4 to 5 years, he wouldn't be there. And like just the incredible awareness by that young girl. The story continues. They honored her at the next game and she got to meet Brian. And obviously he was like almost in tears, just thanking her for what she did. And they donated a $10,000 scholarship, the Kraken and the Canucks, for her med school tuition. It's just like such a great way. Like what a story. Like, I honestly, have you ever heard a story like that in sports? I don't know, but beautiful moment. Obviously, just a win-win from the Canucks and the Kraken to pay into her scholarship for med school, and she really saved that guy's life.
That's great. He was obviously incredibly grateful and emotional going through the, you know, in his Zoom press conference and everything. And it's one of those things where, like, I'm sure it wasn't the most comfortable for her to be like sitting behind him and be like, oh, I'm going to comment on something with this guy's physical appearance and like maybe he knows or whatever. But like that 1% chance, maybe if that's all it is in your head, that he doesn't know or he thinks it's nothing. It's I mean, it's a big move on her part to, I'm sure that wasn't a comfortable thing. So
now,
good for her.
I got a mole.
What are you doing?
Are you going to Antonio Brown here?
Holes.
That's all that made me think of. I didn't think about anything. I'm selfish. I thought about myself. I went, God, now I got to get my moles checked. I got to
everybody check your moles.
Check your moles. Yeah, that's all that made me feel about was, hey, wait, you can have a mole that you don't realize is cancerous immediately? I thought the whole deal with moles, my brain goes, if the mole stays the same size, we're good.
That's correct. But if it changes color, that's another red flag. So everybody check your moles.
Check your moles, everybody. It's mole check time, all right? That's big mole check season right there. What's next?
So, in the Winter Classic, you might have been watching during the second intermission, they announced the rosters for Team USA's women's team at the Olympics. So really cool that they use that platform. It's not the first time they've done that. And so obviously you can check out the USA roster now. Not going to go too much in depth on who's making the roster, except an old teammate of mine, Megan Bozak, who I played with on the Markham Thunder, who got cut from the last Olympics, the gold medal team, found her way back through that disappointment and finally made it. So shout out to her, who was my teammate, and she's obviously over the moon about it. But I wanted to highlight one story from an American, Abby Rock, who's 24 years old. She's one of the breakthrough players, one of the young guns making her first Olympic appearance. She's actually going to be the first Indigenous woman to play hockey for the U.S. at the Winter Olympics. And she has Sudbury, Ontario roots, and that's where I currently am. So even more cool. Her father was a part of the Anishinaabe Wanapete First Nation, which is here just outside of Sudbury. So she could have been a Canadian Olympian, but she grew up just on across the border in the Sault Ste. Marie in the United States. So she chose always to represent United States. So she's going to be the first person, a BIPOC member to play for the U.S. national team. And yeah, just a really great story. Her uncle, Larry, was actually the chief of the Ojibwe First Nation here in Sudbury, just outside of Sudbury, and a really special story. And her dad is actually a scout, I believe for the Toronto Maple Leafs even. I'm trying to find just to confirm, but he's a scout in the NHL. So a really cool story. And, hopefully she doesn't play too well at the Olympics.
I'm glad you have someone from Sudbury putting on, cause it was a rough weekend for professional athletes from EG, from East Gwillimbury. So, glad you have the Sudbury thing.
Sudbury.
Sorry if I'm jumping on the next A-list thing, but, Bridget Laquette, also on the trailblazing women's Indigenous in hockey. She's now an NHL scout for Chicago. She's the first Indigenous woman to become an NHL scout.
Sorry. Yes, that was going to be in my A-list.
It's
okay. No, I'm glad that you're looking for A-list. But yeah, quickly on that, Bridget Laquette, another a friend of mine actually is announced to be a scout for the Chicago Blackhawks, first Indigenous woman, or first, pretty much one of the first women actually too, to be an NHL scout. So really exciting. She actually got released from Team Canada this year. So she found another pathway in her career, and I'm really proud of her that she's been able to make that jump. And finally, I know we only have a couple minutes left, but this is a little bit of a stick in my craw.
Ooh.
That is making it in the A-list. Toronto Raptors, they played our Knicks last night, and they used Bing Bonga as their social media caption for yesterday's game, and multiple people, my loyal fans out there, my A-listers, tagged me in the responses saying, credit Ailish for this. She was on this months ago, and you can go and look through my Twitter feed. And you all know I've been on the Bing Bonga train, okay? And yet they steal my caption, they capitalize on it, and I'm left with nothing.
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 Not even a little like, hey, shout out, girl. Not even a DM like, yeah, we stole it from you. You stole it.
You go back, you listen to the, I believe it was November 10th episode of this show. Mm-hmm. JD, I think you were off that week. But that was the week we had Chad Sanders on, the 905 general manager.
Yep.
And you decided, because you were so excited, that you and your friends would go. Mm-hmm. And that was the birth of Bing Bonga way back November 10th,
right,
or sometime that week. So
that's property infringement or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Property infringement.
No, so here's the thing. It's really tough to say Bing Bong is your, you know, you've
Bing Bong is not mine.
No, I know. But the thing is that you use Bing Bong every day without accreditation to the original Bing Bonger. And
it's
so
in
to
the
me, I would
A-list song.
I know.
Them
and
credit.
Yeah, just to me, it's more of a, hey, you've really made it once other people start using it.
Correct.
And it becomes a part of the Raptors nomenclature, that he is just Bing Bonga. That it's just, I wish you got the credit. I do. It would have been amazing. It would have been amazing if the Raptors just wrote Bing Bonga at Ailish Forfar and did like an emoji, right? Of course, it would have been amazing. However, part of becoming the international superstar that you are becoming, yes, exactly, is that people are just going to say some of the things you say and use it as their own.
Steal it.
You know?
You know, like there was a little bit of pride for sure. Like, I felt like, you know what? I'm a little bitter, but at the same time, the people that know it's mine, they know it's mine. They came for me. They were supporting me. You know, you got to take it a little chip on my shoulder. I'm not giving away free content anymore.
Look, all I'll say is, in terms of the city's official sports teams ripping off your content, I'll just say welcome, because there's a club of us. You know,
and that means I made it big time, eh, Blake?
Absolutely means you made it.
This is the thing. It's just like how I basically give out takes in the morning, and then every other show bites them and distributes them throughout the day on all the other networks. In a crappier way, obviously, but still in a less genuine way. I don't hear the sincerity in the takes, but it's the exact same thing. You know, this is your thing.
And we'll
it's
have
the exact
that person
thing.
On at 9:00.
Yeah, speaking of Justin Bourne,
one of them,
just one of the many, one of the millions and millions. There's a wrestling.
Anyway,
long
live Bing Bonga. Long live Bing Bonga.
Long live
trademark
Bing Bonga forever.